Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As we move closer to the winter months, a lot of us are through with COVID. But from the looks of things, COVID is nowhere near through with us. We are seeing a surge in Delta variant cases, including some 1,100 deaths a day. Also, some 200 children per day are getting sick. That's a 57% increase from just a week or so ago. There's also new information about the new Omicron variant tonight. And joining me for our COVID-19 update is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. As always, we invite you to give us a call if you have comments or questions about COVID-19, the new variants, vaccines, and the like. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, once again, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you, my brother. It's a pleasure and privilege to be with you and your audience.
Let us talk, first of all, about this new information that is coming out today about the Omicron variant. Dr. Anthony Fauci announcing today, and he speaks certainly anecdotally as new information is coming out, saying that the Omicron variant, much more contagious, but not as dangerous. Your thoughts about that?
Well, the key thing that you said is that this is early reports. And one of the things that Dr. Fauci is being very careful about is to say, you know, that we are still learning. We don't know all the information. Thank goodness the people in South Africa are very competent. They do good science, and they are being very transparent in reporting. What we are aware of is that absolutely this seems to be highly transmissible from person to person. The incidence and the rapid rise in cases, not only in South Africa, but in other parts of the world, is telling us that this is very easily transmissible. What it is also telling us is that early data makes it appear that having been previously infected with COVID is not very protective of not getting this strain. So that even if you have had COVID, this cases of reinfection seem to be a lot higher. The good news, as you have reported, is that people do not seem to be getting as sick. Hospitalizations that require oxygen are very rare in South Africa with this strain, and deaths have not yet been a major challenge. So in that sense, this could be good news. The last piece in the equation, Harold, that we need to set the stage with is we don't have enough information yet to know how effective our existing vaccines will be and our monoclonal antibodies will be against this strain. But so far, we have no reason to believe that they won't. So that's the story of this. The bottom line is this variant, this Omicron variant, is with us in this country, and it tells us again that we've got to remain vigilant if we're going to be concerned about protecting and celebrating Black life.
On the other hand, however, the Delta variant continues to remain extremely contagious, extremely dangerous, deadly in some cases.
Oh, it is more than, and it's more than just some. It is a lot. And as you teed up in the intro, we were feeling good, I think, there for a while, a month ago, with cases starting to go down. But now we have noticed that for the first time in the last 2 months, we're averaging more than 100,000 new COVID cases a day, and that this is really, really starting to tell us that not only are the number of cases high, but the number of deaths. We're losing now, as you indicated in the opening, 1,651 people are dying on average now every day as of Saturday. And so this means that while people are focusing, as they should be, on Omicron, the real threat is still Delta. And that threat not only has not abated, but it is on the rebound.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our COVID-19 update. I have with me on the phone Dr. Reid Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have a comment about anything related to the COVID-19 variants, booster shots, the vaccine in general, give us a call. Lines are open. We take calls all the way up until 8 o'clock, as always, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So with that said, why do you suppose that we are seeing these issues with the Delta variant now?
We are seeing it because people have relaxed their vigil, number one. People know the rules that they're supposed to wear their masks when they are indoors, and they shouldn't be caught indoors unless they have to be with other people who are not vaccinated. We know that the holiday surge, we predicted it. We predicted it on your show, only a week or two ago, that we would have a surge because of the holidays, and we are now starting to see that as people have gathered without using great advice. And not following the advice. And the third reason is that we still have far too few people who are vaccinated. So this mutation, this Delta, has been able to hang around and now gain strength again. So there's nothing really complex about why it's happening. And the real point of that, Harold, is that this is within our control. We don't have to be dying like this or getting sick like this. If only people would do what's right. And these crazy politicians, particularly these Republican governors and so forth, who seem hell-bent to do everything in their power to make sure that more and more Americans die from this disease for some perverse political equation, which I will never understand, those things do not help us at all.
Here's the other question in reference to testing, specifically concerning the variants, Delta and the Omicron variant. How might someone know if they are infected with one of the two variants? Are the tests specifically accurate enough to tell the difference?
Probably not the ones that you and I are, in terms of home testing and those kinds of things. No, we wouldn't. But one of the good things that we have in this country, thank gosh, is a very sophisticated surveillance system so that the public health laboratories are able to take the testing data from the public health departments, and they are able to track and see. Whether or not you as an individual right now have, if you get the COVID, and whether or not you have the Delta or the Omicron, your treating physicians may not have that information at their fingertips in every case. However, it still really doesn't matter much because the treatment is not going to be any different per se. They're still going to treat you the same way. So, at this point, there is no need for greater specificity until we learn more about the elements of the Omicron variant compared to the Delta variant. But for now, the guidance is just the same for both.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about COVID-19. Of course, this is our COVID-19 update. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let us go to the phone lines. William, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, William. What's on your mind?
Hello. I am a Lyft driver. I started driving Lyft in 2020, in January. So I drove through the entire epidemic. I'm fully vaccinated, and I got my booster shot about a week ago. I did this mainly because I want to encourage my family to do so, and because I feel a lot safer, protected, now that I am fully vaccinated and have my booster shot. And I'm sure that they will, because everyone that I have reached so far that felt better and look after their first shot and look forward to the second one. Only thing I want to do is I just want to say, you know, nobody was concerned when it was they were being vaccinated for a lot of other things, smallpox or whatever, chickenpox or whatever. They need to do this, and they will feel a lot better. That's just what I want to, the message I want to send. I also practice all the guidelines. I wash my hand as often as I feel necessary or as often as I can. I keep my mask on while I'm driving at all times, and I don't get into a lot of crowds. And I've been surviving, and I feel great. I just turned 69 on October 9th.
Wow.
That's what I want to say.
Okay.
Well, you know, Harold, I have to just say this very quickly. That testimony will save lives more than my comments will save lives, because we now know that it is these kinds of stories from real people talking to our community, straightforward like that. You, sir, have done more than make a comment. You are saving lives, because there will be a lot of people that will listen to you. The last quick point I will sneak in here is that one of the things that has happened, Harold, because of the Omicron variant, it has driven up in a very major way the number of people who are receiving boosters since the Omicron has been talked about in the news. And so that has been one of the positive impacts of Omicron, is that it has been just like this gentleman. A lot of people are now getting their boosters just so they can have that sense of security that our caller mentioned. Thank you, sir.
Okay, William, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about COVID-19. This is our COVID-19 update that we do frequently whenever there is new information coming out about the pandemic. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. We are here to answer your questions or respond to your comments up until 8 o'clock tonight. As always, Sherry calling from Northeast D.C. Sherry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'm calling from Northwest, right around the corner from Howard. My question is for people, individuals like me. I have an MDA neuromuscular disease called KSS, Kearns-Sayre syndrome. It is so rare that it's just one or two people from each corner of the world. Okay, there is no cure. There is no treatment whatsoever. And I would have to be hospitalized in order for them to give me, you know, a vaccination in the first place. So I'm classified as one of those people, you know, that cannot be vaccinated. Because if something should go wrong, they wouldn't know what to treat me with. And it could kill me if they just tried anything with the type of muscular dystrophy that I have, which is Kearns-Sayre syndrome. So, I mean, what do you do for people like me?
Right. So let me be real quick before Harold has to go to the break. And I just would say that, first of all, I'm sorry that you're struggling, and I do hope that you're still able to maintain a good and productive and happy life, and my heart goes out to you. Number two, you are one of the main reasons why the rest of us need to get vaccinated and get this disease under control, because you are at the mercy of the rest of us. And so you're a situation where your physicians are saying that you cannot be vaccinated because of this very rare condition that you have, and you are one of only a very, very, very few numbers of people for whom that's the case. But you are dependent on the rest of us. And I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that you called in, because this is the kind of moral responsibility that we have to each other as human beings and as Black people to other Black people. We have to know that there are people who cannot defend themselves against this virus. And therefore, we have to do our part to make sure that anybody that comes near you, absolutely, since you cannot know their vaccination status, that they're wearing masks. Don't let people walk anywhere near you without their masks on, and especially don't get caught indoors. And everyone else has to remember, we have a responsibility to these people and to people who are immunocompromised, whose health will be affected by us.
Okay.
Well, I'm wearing my mask all the time. I don't care how stupid it may look to other people, but I'm wearing it.
I think, Sherry, we are beyond worrying about how these things look. But thank you so much, Sherry, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. D, calling from, I guess we lost D. Let's go to Clara, calling from Northwest D.C. Clara, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for answering my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question. I'm fully vaccinated, and putting God first, good health and strength, I plan to go to Ghana December the 31st. But I took the yellow fever shot, and I was wondering, should I wait to get my booster? Because I do want to get the booster shot. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
It's a great question. I will have to say that this is one case where I would want you to be in consultation with a travel medicine specialist. And they have them at Howard University and other places. And you need to get a specific opinion. I am unaware of any cross reaction from that particular vaccine and the COVID booster. So to my knowledge, it is not a problem. But I think this is one case where you might want to go ahead and consult a specialist. But the other part of your question, which is key, is also the travel bans to various other countries. So I'm sure you've done your homework and you've been assured that it's okay to travel to Ghana, and also that you'll be able to get back in the country once you finish your trip. Those are going to be very important things for you to pay attention to.
Okay.
I am. That's one of the things I am paying attention to. And I did get insurance on my ticket, so
okay.
Hopefully everything goes well for me.
Well, thank you.
But please consult somebody before you take another step. Tomorrow, make absolutely sure that the policies today are that you'll be able to come back.
Yeah. Clara, thank you so much, and good luck. If you were on the phone, that includes Jerome and Issei, I believe that's who it is. Stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we will be able to address your questions or comments. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on whur.com and download the HD2 app, the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone, and hear the program live in its entirety. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue with our COVID-19 update. We just heard from Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. Joining us now for the balance of the program, Dr. Tuckson. Oh, you're still, okay, you're still with us. Continuing with our questions, I wanted to go back to the phone lines with Jerome calling from D.C., Jerome, you had a question about the virus. Jerome, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? And I believe we have lost Jerome. Let us go to, is this Issei? Okay, I think we may have lost Issei as well. Give us a call. Lines are still, okay. We lost Dr. Tuckson. We're going to take a break. We're going to get them back in just a moment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll continue with our COVID-19 update in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing with our COVID-19 update, answering your questions and concerns about the pandemic as we are seeing a surge not only in Delta variant infections, but also deaths. Joining me now for the balance of the program is Dr. Yolandra Hancock, Advisory Board Member for Mask for America and member of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Yolandra, how are you?
I'm doing well, my love. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. You are a pediatrician by trade, and so I want to ask you specifically before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of this conversation, what are you seeing in your own practice?
I see a segment of parents who are eager to get their children vaccinated. They have eagerly anticipated vaccine availability for their 5 to 11-year-olds. And I've seen a good number of parents who are still sort of watchfully waiting to make sure that this is the safest decision that they can make for their children. As a mother myself, which is my most important job and role, you know, I certainly understand where parents come from, particularly when it comes to making decisions like those about vaccines. And luckily, we have seen here in the DMV, although Black and brown children have been disproportionately impacted by COVID within my practice, a good number of my patients' parents have been vaccinated, and so they've been able to benefit from the protection of their parents. But that's not the same story, particularly in different parts of D.C. Mm-hmm.
We have seen reports literally coming out today about more and more children getting sick in New York and Texas and the like. From your perspective, what's going on with that?
It makes perfect sense for a couple of reasons. One, when we pay attention to what happened in Europe a couple of months ago, particularly the United Kingdom, they always let us know the trajectory in which we're going so that we can plan ahead. When the UK experienced what I guess they're classifying as sort of a fifth wave, the people most impacted by the fifth wave of COVID just a couple of months ago were 5 to 14-year-olds. Even when you look at the Omicron variant, the second largest population impacted by the Omicron variant in South Africa are children under the age of 5. It's those 65 and older and children under the age of 5. So we have to understand that although children may not have historically been as disproportionately impacted by COVID as adults were, that is no longer the case, especially as the majority of adults, we're now reaching 60%+ of adults being fully vaccinated. And, you know, less than 30% of our children, particularly those 5 to 11, yet, you know, only having received a full vaccination. Our adolescent population is close to 60% as well. So anywhere between 40 to 60% of our children are still open and exposed to acquiring the COVID-19 infection. And as we continue to get our booster shots and adults are getting vaccinated, it puts our children at risk because COVID has nowhere to go but in our younger people, which is the reason why, one, adults need to get vaccinated or get boosted, and two, we have to strongly consider getting our children 5 and older vaccinated so that they are protected.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jonathan calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jonathan. What's on your mind?
Yes, my name is Jonathan. I'm listening to these comments, and I'm very much disturbed about it. I'm a barber. I cut hair, and I cut hair around a lot of people, and a lot of people come to me to get haircuts. I don't only feel like I have a responsibility to them, but to myself as a health situation to protect them as well as me. You know, I sit back and I listen to all the different thoughts and the different ways that people are trying to make it seem like there's a conspiracy going on with this COVID vaccination. And, you know, people go to eat at McDonald's, Burger King, they eat Chinese people food. You don't know what ingredients are in that. I remember when I was coming up in school, we had to do a booster shot back then to have a polio shot. Nobody questioned that stuff. We got it done. You understand? This is when, to me, communism works. When we should need to just shut everybody's mouth. They need to don't realize that this is a human issue right now. People are dying, not by the tens, but by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. And people need to put their little thoughts in their back pocket, shit on them and don't get their shots so people can continue to live and this country can be what it's supposed to be again. There's no conspiracy with this vaccine. Stop trying to make stuff up and trying to put stuff out in people's minds and in their thoughts that something is going on with the government. Man, there are many countries that hate the United States of America, but guess what? Do you think for 1 minute if they thought that something or a conspiracy was in this vaccine that they'll be going to take the vaccine shot? No, but they're running to the place to take it where the only one sitting back is fools dying every day, then saying we want to go take it after we go through a hell with our lives and trying to get back to be the original people that we are when we're all sick and messed up from this disease, man. It don't make sense to me. It just don't.
Well, you know,
you got superstars like Kyrie Irving who got these platforms, and he's actually has so much influence over these young guys, and he's not even thinking. And I'm guarantee he eat a hamburger, he eat French fries, he eat other stuff, and he don't know what's in his food.
Well, you know what, Jonathan, you make such an excellent point, and I really appreciate your passion, because you speak so much logic right now. We've had people come on this show, and the thing that they always say is, well, you don't know what's in the vaccine. But, and I always, tongue in cheek, I always say to them, unless you are, a scientist or a physician, like, our beloved Dr. Yolandra Hancock, you don't know what's in aspirin. But when you have a headache, you take it. And or you don't know what's in, the injection that you may get when you go to the doctor, but your doctor tells you that this is going to make you feel better. It's going to cure whatever issue that you may have. And, Dr. Yolandra, I'm sure you have some thoughts about what, Jonathan has so aptly and passionately just shared with us about, the people that he's been talking to every day.
How Jonathan just expressed himself is what those are the conversations I have in my mind on a regular basis. So I just have to commend him both as a black man, as a barber, likely as an entrepreneur, and just an impassioned community member. He speaks truth to power. We don't look at what's in the sweet tea we are eating. We don't look at what's in the Takis that we buy our children, even though there's scientific proof that some of the stuff in some of the foods and drinks that we give our children facilitate all kinds of health behaviors that can even impact their fertility later on. Some folks are trusting that the new medications that are going to come out are going to be their savior. But what they don't realize is, based on the current data that we have, some of the concerns that they espouse about this vaccine have been proven to be true with some of the medications that are getting ready to be pushed out through Merck, specifically in terms of fertility issues and concerns around cancer. And so we have to really think through, how do we as a community prioritize our health? How do we as a community tap into trusted sources? Like, I'm not going to trust an athlete for health advice. If I want a mean jump shot, I'm going to tap into somebody from the NBA. But if I'm trying to figure out how to continue my life in the way that it currently exists without long COVID, without the complications that could result from me getting acutely infected, I'm going to listen to folks like Dr. Reed Tuckson. I'm going to listen to folks that look like me, particularly that have no ulterior motive. I don't get kickbacks from Big Pharma, despite what people will say. I don't get paid by Pfizer. I was actually offered money by Pfizer to support pushing out of the vaccine, but I said no at the beginning of the rollout because I did not want it to seem like there was tainted fruit at all when I spoke about the vaccine. I made a conscious decision to say no. But people have to understand, you have to check who you're listening to and what you're buying into before you make a decision. And I don't debate the safety of vaccines. There's enough evidence now. There have now been billions of people, to Jonathan's point, billions of people across this globe that have now received these COVID-19 vaccines, and they are still walking, talking, breathing, existing, and living. And in order for us to get back to some form of normalcy, folks have to get over themselves, accept what it is, buy into this public health infrastructure that has been needed to be in place since forever, roll your sleeves up and go on and get the shot.
Yeah, we need more Jonathans in our community, more passion like that. Jonathan, thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for your voice. Keep raising your voice, and hopefully with more people like you, we will get through this thing and come out on the other side. Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate your time. Let's go to Jerome. Jerome calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jerome. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I have a question of concern.
Sure.
With everyone being vaccinated, does this really mean that we're going back to everyone being a germ carrier to a same degree? Because the understanding that I have from the COVID situation, if you get vaccinated, that means your likelihood of dying is, you know, has limitations now, but you can get semi-sick to a small degree, depending on your health and your issues you might have. Now, with the people being asymptomatic, would that make the people that get vaccinated, if we are in contact with people that do have COVID, do we still get some small term of the disease, I call it? And we can be a carrier, but we will not get sick. I'm really asking, is this going to be just like a circle? I mean, just a circle going round and round until everybody gets vaccinated and we can knock it out in force by greatest numbers?
That's such a great question.
That's such an excellent question. So the question that you asked is like the holy grail of this whole process, right? We know that the purpose of the vaccine originally was two-part. One, to prevent us from getting significantly ill, and the second was to prevent us from dying from COVID. It was not initially designed to prevent us from getting infected if we are exposed, if we're around someone who actually has COVID. We haven't been able to determine that until now as more people have gotten vaccinated. And what we know based on the numbers is that the majority of individuals who are responsible for new COVID cases are unvaccinated. Over 90% of those who are hospitalized because of COVID are unvaccinated. Over 90% of those who are dying because of COVID are unvaccinated. It does not mean that if you are vaccinated and you're around someone who has COVID that you're not going to get it, but it decreases the likelihood of you getting infected once exposed. It also means that if and when you do get an infection from COVID, that you're not going to get as ill more often than not than you would had you not been vaccinated. We know that the vaccine is 93% effective, meaning if out of 100 people and 93% of those folks are going to be vaccinated and protected, we still expect that at least 7 people are still going to get COVID, but their symptoms are going to be milder. That's the reason why I think the CDC did make a misstep where they initially said that those who are vaccinated don't need to wear masks and don't need to get tested. If you are vaccinated and you've been around someone and you don't know their status or you know they've been positive, you still need to get tested so that we can do just what he described. We can stop the cycle. You can't assume that simply because you're vaccinated and you've been around someone who's had COVID that you will not serve as someone who can spread it even if you don't have symptoms. You still need to get tested. You still need to quarantine at least until you know what your test results are so that you aren't one of the people that facilitates continuous spread of COVID-19. But over time, the more of us who get vaccinated, the less the likelihood is that COVID has anyone to infect and cause spread to. It dies out over time. That's not going to happen until between 85 to 90% of us get vaccinated, and it's not anticipated that we'll reach that based on current vaccination rates until sometime in May. Some folks will say, oh, well, natural immunity will take us there too. Well, guess what? The Omicron variant has now shown us that you are at high risk of reinfection even in the face of having what we call natural immunity from having been infected with COVID before. What we see in hospital rates and infection rates is that there's still protection even with changes in the spike protein. There's still protection with this vaccine even related to the Omicron variant.
Yeah. Did you get that, Jerome?
I did hear it. Yes, I did.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our COVID-19 update. I'm now talking with Dr. Yolandra Hancock. She is with the She is with the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. She is also an advisory board member for Mask for America. One of the things that we are having to deal with now is, and I said this just a couple of weeks ago, winter is coming. And, and there are some variables that we must now deal with that we didn't have to address during the summer months. Can you kind of talk about how things are going to be different, how the risk factors have changed now that we are coming into the winter months?
Absolutely. So there is a strong belief that there is what we call seasonality to COVID-19. For most coronaviruses, even the common cold, viruses are sensitive to temperatures and they prefer colder weather. So it's anticipated that you'll see increased COVID simply based on the fact that we're entering into the winter months with colder weather. True, when it gets cold, at least on the East Coast, I grew up in Southern California and from Louisiana, but out here on the East Coast, things get cold. When it gets cold, people go inside. When they go inside, it means that they are in each other's airspace, further facilitating the transmission of COVID-19. And then you add on top of that the predominant current variant, which is the Delta variant, which is 7 times more infectious than the original COVID-19. And now they're speculating that the Omicron variant may be 3 times more infectious than even the Delta variant. So enclosed space, higher rate of growth with a stronger variant compared to the original. It is the trifecta for numbers to go up. And the same pattern that we saw this time last year, we're seeing that same pattern of velocity of rise in terms of the number of cases. The blessing is that compared to last year, we in the healthcare system are doing a much better job of managing our COVID-19 patients. My hat off to every frontline healthcare worker, doctors, nurses, RTs, PTs, everyone, the janitorial staff who's keeping us safe and keeping us healthy as they manage through these patients, because we have now been able to improve the survivability of those who are hospitalized. But one of my patients just lost her brother yesterday to COVID-19. Another patient lost her brother to COVID-19 a week ago. Another patient today lost her pastor to COVID. So we're still seeing significant loss, and we haven't even hit the winter months. We have to prepare that deaths usually trail behind rise in cases by about 2 to 3 weeks. So we're not going to see the true impact of Thanksgiving travel until halfway into this month.
And, you know, to your point, I was talking to another friend of mine who is a physician, and she, you know, she went to an HBCU and she had, you know, attended homecoming. And one of her friends, an intelligent person, you know, well educated, and she came back and she was calling me and telling me that he died as a result of COVID. And then she found out he was not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was just sadly appalling to her, because of course this was somebody that she knew well, and I think it's just really surprising, and she just kept saying over and over and over again, why didn't he get vaccinated? Why didn't he get vaccinated? I'm just surprised that he didn't get vaccinated, and now he's gone. And to, I believe it was Jonathan's point, the barber who was so passionate a few minutes ago, is that there are some people that you would have thought may have had the mindset that would have been standing in line first to get the shot to be safe, so that their families are safe, so that their coworkers are safe, and are not doing it, and then they turn around and they get really sick or worse.
Right. I think really it's a matter of perceived risk, right? So if no one that you know of close to you has had severe COVID, or they died, they had COVID, but they also had diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, heart disease, et cetera, there's this rationalization that, well, they had all these chronic diseases either, anyway, it's not going to be me. Or I'm around other people who are likely vaccinated. And they said a while ago, case numbers are going down. So, you know, everyone else is returning to some form of normalcy. I should be able to do the same thing. And that's not the case. To your point, winter is coming. I mean, we haven't really had a significant reduction in our cases since June. We were averaging close to around 12,000 cases per day in June, and then came Delta, right? And then that went out the window. Dr. Fauci always says our goal is between 5,000 to 10,000 cases per day. That's when we know that we have made successful strides in controlling transmission, and perhaps we go from pandemic to endemic. Clearly, we're going in the wrong direction. Just 2 weeks ago, we were averaging around 75,000 new cases per day. Now we're well over 100,000, and we will continue to rise, especially now that Omicron has hit our shores. People have to recognize and realize you have to take the steps to protect yourself. It's no different than heart disease. Folks have a heart attack, and next week they're back at Popeyes eating some fried chicken, a biscuit, and drinking some sweet tea. You cannot let your foot off the gas. If that scared you enough to make a change, it needs to be persistent. You need to remind yourself that Black and brown people are more than twice as likely to get COVID, be hospitalized from COVID, and die from COVID. And this is for our adults and for our children. So if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your daughter, your son, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, so that they're protected. Even if you don't value the protection of yourself, you have to think about everybody else.
Let's talk to Lee, calling from Maryland. Lee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Lee, are you there? One more time. Lee, calling from Maryland. Are you there? Okay, Lee, give us a call back if you can. I have a question. I got the booster a week ago yesterday, Pfizer. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, this is anecdotally speaking, and just really paying attention to my body and my reaction, as well as paying attention to what I see. Last week, I got it, you know, at the pharmacy, and of course I had to wait 15 to 30 minutes. It was a regular injection. I felt absolutely nothing. The next day, on a scale of 1 to 10, I felt a soreness in my arm of about a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the third day, I felt absolutely nothing. I felt no fatigue. And other than a small bruise on my arm that was shaped like the boot of Italy, and it was it was probably about 2 inches long or so. That was it. It's gone now. And yet, you know, I've seen, you know, on social media some people, some women, for example, who would say, gosh, this thing just, you know, the booster just took me out. And I often wonder, at least, and then some other guys who say, yeah, they had some milder symptoms, and then you have some other people who, like me, felt nothing. Do you know of any studies that determine how we react to the vaccine, or more specifically, the booster? And look, I don't want to feel fatigue. I don't want to be out for a day. I don't want any arm soreness. Not looking for any adverse reaction. But just from a point of intellectual curiosity, I've often wondered why I've reacted with barely a symptom. Even the second time, I was sore. My second shot, I was sore. I was sleepy for a day, and then it was over. But some people have had some rather severe reactions. What determines that? Do we know?
That's an excellent question. There have not been, to my knowledge, specific studies looking at sort of what we call side effects. So there's side effects and there are adverse outcomes as a result of getting vaccines. Side effects are the things that you expect to happen. Arm soreness, a little bit of fatigue, maybe even a little bit of fever, a little redness around the site. Adverse outcomes are the bad things like myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, Guillain-Barré, partial paralysis, Bell's palsy, partial paralysis of the face. Those are all the bad things that we worry about. But what happens, particularly when it comes to how the level of side effect that you may experience, varies for different people at different stages. When I got my second shot from Moderna, I was perfectly fine. I was traveling the next day. I got this booster in combination with having dental surgery. Yes, I know I was a masochist, but I had to do it with my daughter so she can get her first shot. And it took me down. but it was because I was already dealing with inflammation as a result of having had oral surgery. So you have to think about how well hydrated you are, how well rested you are. What are you eating around the time that you got the vaccine? What are you eating after you've gotten the vaccine? What is your level of stress? All of those things impact both your immune response and your inflammatory response that can then further facilitate how you respond when you get a vaccine, which is one of the reasons why, particularly in social media, I pushed out, like, how do you prepare the body? I did what I could, but I was recovering from mouth surgery, so there was only so much I could do to get my body ready for that booster shot. But certainly when I got my first and second Moderna shots, I went into it very well hydrated. I was purposeful in which arm I got the shot in so that I would move my arm around a lot. Sometimes people will baby their arms. The more you baby your arm, the slower the blood flow through the muscle that facilitates it moving out of the muscle and through the body so that the body can clear it. You want to move your arm around. You want to get circulation moving. You want to hydrate. You want to cut back on your sugar because sugar triggers inflammation. It's so having some basic nutrition information, having some basic information about how the body responds to inflammation will help folks navigate through, especially for people. I heard one of the callers earlier talking about a rare immune disorder that she had, especially if you're dealing with an autoimmune issue. You want to make sure your body is primed and ready so that things aren't triggering your autoimmune disorder, making sure you're eating the right foods, getting the rest, exercising, and hydrating appropriately.
Final thoughts, Dr. Yolandra, about where we are right now, December 2021, regarding the pandemic.
We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect ourselves, our family, and our community as we enter into the winter months. That means masking up, vaccing up, social distancing when you don't know status, getting yourself tested so that you know what your infectious status is so that you're not the one spreading COVID around come Christmas. That's what I would recommend.
Dr. Yolandra Hancock, I want to thank you so much for talking to us. You continue to be safe. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We also want to thank Dr. Reed Tuckson for talking with us earlier in the program, and we also wish him the very best and to be safe. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, December 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.